Well, good morning out there in Facebook live streaming world. Good to see you, Ledge Rock Community Church, friends and family all across the country. I'm glad that you're here with me today, joining in to share in God's Word. Before I even go any further, let me say, man, I miss you. I was just thinking as I walked in the office to get ready, you know, to get mic'd up and ready to go, that boy, this is just so out of the norm. It's becoming weird preaching to a camera, and just I'm missing you guys and very much ready to get back together. We still don't know when that will be or what that might look like, but we are thinking and praying and working through the process of what it will look like. And I don't have many answers for you right now, but I do see the potential at least for being able to gather possibly sooner rather than later in numbers, you know, under 100, maybe in the neighborhood of 50 in multiple services. I could see that happening. Again, we don't know. This isn't a definitive answer on what's next, but know that there would be the potential for doing a couple of services and asking you guys to sign up for one or the other and try to split our congregation up into a couple different groups so that we can get together in a social distancing way, whatever that might look like. Just know that, man, we're praying and hoping that we can get together. I miss seeing your smiling faces and hearing this corporate worship of praising Jesus together. So looking forward to that. Speaking of Jesus, if there's anybody that's watching this today or in the future and you're wondering, is there really a God out there? Or maybe you realize there is a God, but you're wondering his nature. Is this God really a God of love and grace and mercy? Is God really a good God? I have good news for you. The answer is yes. Yes, he is real, and yes, he is good, and yes, he is love. And you might say, well, Pastor Kurt, why do you have such a positive assurance on the goodness and the nature of God? Well, he proved it yesterday. He proved his presence and his goodness yesterday in that Red Cabin custard opened up. It opened up and had vanilla and chocolate and coffee-flavored frozen custard. If you needed more proof that God was real and good, there it is. There it is here in Ely, Minnesota. Wow, it's not complete without some Red Cabin custard. So we were there, unfortunately, a little too late to get the vanilla. That's my favorite. However, we did possibly pick up a quart of creme brulee. So God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So thank you, Lord, for the beauty of your creation. Thanks for this amazing weather. Praying for some rain coming up. It's a good time to be alive and to be here. Drove up to some entry points yesterday and got out on the water even and saw cars from all over the Midwest. So busy weekend here. Just things are looking up. We're starting to see more things open up, looking for some more releasing from the governor. So all is good. I hope you're doing well. Also, I'm glad for the connection that we've had through emails and phone calls. I'm glad for your encouragement. I'm glad that to see some of you as we're starting to have some meetings down in the fellowship hall. It's just good to start connecting and can't wait to get back together. I've been in this series on recipes for things that start with R, recipes to remember, and recipe for results, and results that remain, and recipes for rest, and I realize the magnitude and the importance of relationships. And so last week I did a two-part mini series within the series on right relationships. And so last week we talked about a right relationship with God as the key, the most important relationship that there is in existence, that relationship between you and our Lord. And then today is a recipe for right relationships personally, interpersonally, family relationships and spousal relationships. And as I thought about this whole idea and this concept of right relationships, it made me think back to my own life and all the relationships that I've had over the years and how much they've changed and how much I've changed through the years, and I think about some of the relationships all throughout my life, and there has been seasons and people in my life and relationships I've had that weren't so good. There were times when I was precariously perched on a razor's edge, and I could have possibly gone either way, gone into a darker place, a bad place, not healthy or good. Or thankfully, I feel like I fell the other direction into more positive relationships. Some of those old relationships, those potentially not so good ones, have kind of ceased to exist. And I've gotten away from that. Just life has changed, and I've evolved in different relationships all throughout the ages. And I can imagine each one of you would probably have some similar words to say right now. Lots and lots of relationships in our lives throughout the ages. This world that we're in is made up of relationships, good and bad, right and wrong, like a math problem. This world, our life, is full of relationships that, again, like math, either add to us or subtract from us. Our relationships in our life, they either multiply us or divide us. They're either right or wrong. They're either healthy or unhealthy. And relationships are crucial. They're vital. We were created by God to have a relationship with Him, and then to have relationships with each other. And your leadership and I have identified the priority that relationships have to be in this church family, in our ministry to a world that's searching for answers and searching for light and searching for authentic relationships. We've identified that and made that a priority here. Part of our vision is, actually our vision is, building relationships, real and pure and true authentic relationships. Relationships are vital, but we need them to be right. We need right relationships versus wrong relationships. Well, today we're going to be back in the book of Genesis, and we're going to be in chapter 2 today, beginning in verse 18. Well, only verse 18. So if you've got a copy of God's Word, find that, turn back. Genesis is the very first book in the Bible, and chapter 2 is the one that immediately follows chapter 1. So, and 18 is the one right before 19. So that's where we're going to be at today. But to set the stage real quick, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is eternal. God in His triune nature, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit always existed. They always were. However, the heavens and the earth were created. God spoke them into existence. He created the stars and the planets, the sun and the moon, the light and the darkness. God created the earth and the rocks and the trees and the plants and the waters. And in those waters, they teemed with fish. And I hear rumors that there's these things called smallmouth bass that lurk in the boundary waters. And I may or may not be going out this coming Saturday for a trip to try to catch some of these elusive smallmouth bass that I hear about. God created them. Another example of just his love for mankind, giving us smallmouth bass. And I'm beginning an even greater love or an ever-expanding love of walleye. I like to catch them, but I really, really like to eat them. God created the animals on the earth, and then He saw that it was good. All of His creation was good. And then God created man. He created Adam out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed life into man. And He saw this creation made in His own image, and He said it was very good. Mankind was created and good, and God created man to tend the garden, to rule over the fish and the animals and the plants and all of those things. But even more importantly, God created man to have a relationship, to be in a relationship with Himself. And then as God had this relationship with Adam, and He spoke with Adam and walked with Adam and talked with Adam, we get into today's verse, today's passage in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And let me read this to you. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. Join me in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, with joyful hearts to be able to even be here, albeit through technology, through videos and cameras and lenses and all the screens and all of this. But Lord, you are not missed on us as we gather together with families and possibly even friends, as we just gather together corporately as a church family. Lord, we come for the sole purpose of celebrating and worshiping you, to get to know you better, to grow in our relationship with you. Maybe some of us are seeking out the reality of who you are and what it means to be your child. Lord, I pray wherever each of us are at, that your spirit would go before me right now, that you would calm our fears and quench our wild imaginations. Lord, remove fear. Open up our hearts that we can hear your voice and then respond to your call for us to grow deeper into you and your word. So Lord, have your way with us this morning. Speak your word through me today, boldly and clearly. Lord, may you be glorified in it and through it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today we're looking at relationships, and more specifically a recipe for right relationships, because there's relationships all around us. Some are right, and unfortunately some are wrong, and we all want right relationships. That's what we desire, and everybody would like to be healthier and have healthier relationships. And so the point to today's message is that anybody can have a right relationship with others if you follow this biblical recipe that we're getting ready to talk about here today. And the first ingredient in today's recipe is you. You are crucial. You are the absolute key ingredient in right relationships all around you. And it's critical that you take a critical, hard look in the mirror. Let me say that again, because this is big. It's critical that you take a critical, hard look in the mirror. I've known some people throughout the ages, throughout the years, that were problem people. And it seems like these problem people bring problems on themselves perpetually. It's like this perpetual problem and pain cycle that they're in. I knew a guy I worked with for a while that every weekend he was getting something stolen from him. I mean, his wallet, car broken into, he's getting his tires slashed, he was getting a beer bottle broken over his head, getting in fights, getting arrested, friends arrested. This guy, everywhere he went, problems and pain just followed him. He was a magnet for problems. And some people are just simply like that. I mean, there are maybe some of you watching today are like, huh, yeah, everywhere I go, there's problems. The point is, we have to take hard looks at ourselves and know where we're at. Okay, how do you evaluate your own self? You are crucial. You're critical. You're a key element in right relationships. And so how do you begin evaluating where you're at? Well, first of all, if you didn't catch last week's message, then stop and go back to last week and watch that one. Listen to last week's message, because the idea behind last week's message was, in order to have a right relationship with folks, you have to first have a right relationship with the Lord. Until you're right with God, all the other relationships in your life will never be their best. They'll never be their fullest. And so it's absolutely crucial and important that you get right with God first. So if you haven't watched last week, go back and watch last week, then jump back in today and pick up into today. And you'll enjoy it so much. You'll watch them over and over again because they're so brilliant and fun and great, right? All right, so go back and watch last week. So then you got to get right with the Lord. So then make Jesus a priority. If you're right with God, if you've repented of your sin and turned your life over to the Lord, make Jesus a priority. He said, have no other gods before me. Make him the most important God, the most important thing in your life. And then all your relationships will be better. But wait, let me preface that a little bit, because that's actually not true. Not every relationship in your life will be better because you've made Jesus a priority. And that's a sad, hard truth. It's a reality that we live in. Not every relationship will be better because you suddenly have made Jesus the most important thing in your life. In fact, Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. He came to divide fathers against their sons and mothers against their daughters. The point is that Jesus will not always make every relationship stronger. However, until you're right with the Lord, all the other relationships cannot ever be their best. And those relationships in your life then will be right. They will get better because they will become clear through the lens and the light that is Jesus. To have a right relationship with anybody, you have to be right first and foremost. As a disciple, that's what a follower of Jesus is a disciple, someone that models their life after Jesus. And that's what it means to be saved and born again and changed. As a disciple, you're charged with following and modeling your life after Jesus. And so what did Jesus do? What were Jesus's characteristics here on this earth as the example for us to follow? Well, Jesus exhibited love. He exhibited grace and forgiveness. Jesus exhibited love. He exhibited meekness, which is just strength under control, humility, humbleness. Jesus exhibited love and the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which then now resides in all believers. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the characteristics that Jesus exhibited here on the earth, and you and I are to model our lives after him. We have to evaluate ourselves critically, look in the mirror and check and see, are we following him? Are we living like him? Are we exhibiting characteristics like him? Are you that ingredient in the relationship that might be wrong? Is it you? Or in a challenging relationship, is it that other person? Are you bettering others around you? Are you making them better? Are you making them more like Jesus? Are you adding to the people around you? Or are you subtracting from them? Are you multiplying their strengths? Or are you dividing them, their strengths, and their time? Are you subtracting from them? What is going on in your relationship with people around you? In problem relationships, are you the problem? You have to stop and ask yourself. Take this hard look and see, in problem relationships, are you the problem? Are your relationships, those that are close to you, are they seeing and hearing Jesus in you and from you? And so here's where the rubber meets the road. If you really want to know, I'm going to challenge you. I dare you. Ask them. Ask those people in your life, do you see Jesus in me? Are you hearing Jesus in me? Ask them, do I multiply you? Do I add to you in your life? Do I make you richer and fuller? Am I a blessing in your life? Or am I harming you and hurting you? Am I subtracting and dividing in your life? Ask them, are folks coming closer to Jesus because of you? The book of Genesis 2:18, God recognized that it wasn't good for man to be alone. He said, then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper corresponding to him. People make other people better. We're designed to be in relationship, to fulfill and complete each other. One of the greatest needs out there in the world today is true, authentic relationships. We are built and designed a relationship with God first and relationships with each other second. So the first ingredient, the key there is you. You are crucial. Take a hard look at you. Look in the mirror and see, what are you doing? Are you following Jesus, exhibiting the characteristics of Jesus? Are you bringing other people closer to Jesus, these relationships? All right, the second ingredient in this recipe, the final ingredient, honestly, it's just two ingredient recipe, very simple, hopefully memorable. The second ingredient then is others. It's those other people. Others are crucial. Evaluating others is that next ingredient. First, you have to evaluate yourself, and then second, evaluate others. Now, relationships, good and bad, right and wrong, relationships all around us. And over the years, especially when I was called, surrendered to vocational ministry, some of those old relationships that I had have kind of dwindled and fizzled away. And I suppose it's for the best, because there were some relationships in my life that definitely didn't add and multiply me. They subtracted and divided and lured me farther from the Lord. And it was interesting the way the Lord worked these different things out. But relationships all around us, good and bad, right and wrong, and we need to evaluate these relationships, ourselves and our role and others, and then what they do and bring to those relationships. We were created to have relationships with each other. God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, and so he created Eve. Out of Adam came Eve, woman. Man first, and then woman second, and Eve corresponded to Adam. She completed him. She was his helpmate. Eve made Adam better, but then in the garden, Eve listened to the lure and the temptation of the serpent, the enemy, and she ate that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate also. Eve, this relationship that God gave to Adam, made Adam better, made him complete, but then also lured him away. Sometimes relationships are both. They're both good and bad. They're both right and wrong. Sometimes that's the way they are, even starting way back in the beginning. And if you're watching and thinking, oh man, Eve messed up and she shouldn't have done it. No, it was Adam's fault, because Adam was right there with her, and Adam didn't do his job. He didn't lead his wife. He didn't help her to turn and walk away from the wicked lies of the enemy. He was right there, and he let her talk. He let her dip her toes into sin and then fall completely head first. He was right there, and he watched it and let it happen. Yeah, Eve was tempted, and she took the fruit first, and then she gave it to him, but he took it right along with her. He should have protected her. That's what a relationship is, especially between man and woman, husband and wife. The man is to lead and protect his family and love them like Jesus loves us. Sometimes relationships are both right and wrong. In the garden, Eve was tempted and she completed Adam, but she also lured him away. And so here's the tough and tricky part. The reality that we live in all around us is that some relationships are tough. Some relationships are brutal. They might be good in some ways and then also bad in some others. But Jesus, in Matthew 28:20, he commanded us to make disciples, to go out and make disciples of all the earth, all the nations, everywhere, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He commanded us to teach people to obey everything that he has commanded. And then he promised us that he would be with us always, even to the end of the age. You and I are commanded to be in and build relationships with everybody, with all kinds of people, some that look like us and some that don't, some that might be liberal or conservative. They might be fishermen or hate the thought of fishing. They might be black or white or native or European, or it doesn't matter. The point is that we are called and commanded to have relationships with everyone. And here's a quote that I want you to really let sink in, because it may change your life and the way you view lost people all around. But here it is. Never be surprised when a lost person acts lost. Now, I'm guilty. It's easy for me to fall into the trap of seeing people sinning and acting lost and being disgusted by it. I hate to hear people around a job site or whatever just cussing away and raising a storm and all kinds of vulgarities or whatever it may be. It's easy for me to fall in the trap of, boy, they shouldn't act that way. I don't have that luxury. As a follower of Jesus, I'm commanded to build relationships and help other people follow Jesus, to be disciples as well. So never act shocked when a lost person acts, never be shocked when a lost person acts lost. They're going to act lost and behave in terrible ways or whatever because they don't know any better. They need Jesus just like we do, just like we did before we were saved and then still need Jesus. You and I are commanded to have relationships with tough people. We're commanded to have relationships that are wrong, that are bad, with wrong people. Because you and I, we may be the only Jesus that those people ever see. These tough or difficult ones, people from all over, you may be the only Bible that person ever reads. So what do you do with difficult people? What do you do with difficult relationships in your life? That's easy. Be Jesus to them. Simply be Jesus to them. And so what does that look like to be Jesus to these tough people? These relationships that might be challenging, that might be subtracting from us. What does that look like? Well, love them. Love them. Show them what it's like to live life in a clean and pure way, to live life as a loving follower of Jesus. Teach people how to follow the Lord, how to live life in a healthy way and love them. Love people. Bring them along. Again, do life with them. Love them. Disciple them. Show them and help them follow after Jesus. If they're an atheist, get them to the point where they at least believe in God. And then when they're an agnostic, then show them the importance of following after God, that you were created perfectly and specially to have a relationship with God. Disciple them. Share life with them. Mentor people. Pour into them. Love them. Here's one. Speak truth to them. Be honest with them. Man, does it sadden me to see where society has gone today. We live in a day and an age when it is virtually impossible to speak truth to each other because we're going to offend that other person. The Bible commands us to speak truth to each other, to hold each other accountable, to challenge each other and charge each other and say, look, brother, sister, I see that you're struggling with this sin. You haven't been to small group or church or whatever in weeks. How are you doing? What's going on? Speak truth to each other. Man, can you imagine how much better our relationships would be if we could be brutally honest with each other and take that honesty to heart and then grow from it? I give you permission to challenge me, to charge me, to tell me the truth. Say, look, pastor, I see that this is an area that you're struggling in or whatever. Do it in a positive and constructive way with love, and we all benefit from that. We all do. Be honest with each other, especially your problem relationships. Be more concerned about your own life than you are with others. Be more concerned about the log in your eye before you're concerned about the little speck in your brother's eye. But then speak truth in love. Be honest. And then what else do you do with problem people and difficult relationships? Love them. Love them. If you are a disciple, you have to have a relationship with everyone. But what about these really bad relationships? What about super problematic, painful, damaging, hurtful relationships? What about those? This one's tough. This one truly is difficult. But I know the reality is that some of you joining here today are in painful problem relationships with painful problem people. and you've evaluated your own life, and you're being Jesus and acting like Jesus and loving and trying to lead those folks, this is the tough one. Lots and lots of prayer is the answer. Lots and lots of discernment, listening to the Holy Spirit lead you in your unique situation to know what to do with problem people that are in your life. Lots of prayer, lots of discernment. And here's the deal. If you have been Jesus to these folks, if you have truly been Jesus, loving them, leading them, forgiving them, gracious to them, meek and humble and forgiving, if you have been Jesus to them and there's still pain and problems in that relationship, then the Holy Spirit may very well lead you to cut off that relationship. That is okay. It is all right to cut off that relationship. Let me read from Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. Proverbs says, "Don't make friends with an angry person, and don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, "The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." It is okay when you have a poisonous person in your life, in a relationship with painful, poisonous people, to cut that off, because poisonous people will poison you. Again, with lots and lots of prayer and lots of discernment, because we're called to have relationships with tough and difficult people. We're called to help them follow Jesus. But with prayer and discernment, there is a point when it is okay to cut off those difficult relationships. And it may only be for a season. There may be a time sooner rather than later when you can rebuild that relationship. But your health is the most important. There's a difference between trying to disciple someone and being harmed. Jesus himself told the disciples, he said that when you go to a city, when you have relationships with people and you've shared with them and loved them and they reject you and reject me and reject my message, it's okay to wipe the dust off your feet and to walk away. Again, it may not be forever. It may only simply be for a season. But if you've been Jesus to them and you have loved them, then it is okay to walk away. Because your relationship with the Lord is the most important thing in your life. Your relationship with the Lord is the most critical. And then your relationship, your health, is second. Your own health and your own relationship with others is secondary. That's next. So this world that we live in, it's full of relationships all around us. Relationships with your church family, with your neighbors, relationships with coworkers, relationships with your parents and your brothers and sisters, with your husband and wife, with people down the road, with people that you hunt and fish and paddle and camp with. The world is full of relationships all around us. Relationships, good and bad, right and wrong, healthy and unhealthy, some adding and some subtracting, some multiplying and some dividing. All around us are relationships. We're built that way. We're built for relationships. And all of us want right relationships. We want better, healthier relationships. We need a recipe for that. Well, I've given you two different series here in this series on relationships. One, for a right relationship with the Lord, and second, for right relationship with each other. For today's recipe, you are primary ingredient. You are crucial. You need to evaluate your own self. Are you the problem in these problem relationships? Are you bringing on these problems? Are you leading people to or away from Jesus? You have to evaluate yourself. And the second ingredient is evaluating others. Where are they at? Am I being Jesus to them? Are they growing? Are they moving closer to the Lord? Or are they continually dragging me down? Is it time to distance myself from that problem person and that problem relationship? Is it time for me to get closer to the Lord or whatever? Evaluate yourself and evaluate others, because you are absolutely crucial. Love the Lord and love others. Be careful and be cautious. Be Jesus. Be Jesus in your own life. Be Jesus to others all around you, and watch what God can do. If you want a right relationship in life, get close to the Lord, get right with Him, and then get right with others. Hopefully this has helped. I know relationships are crucial. We're going to explore more and more in days and weeks and months to come what it's like to have right and real relationships with each other, with our community, with people, our missionaries all over the world. It's all about right relationships. And so hopefully last week and this week will help you in your journey to establishing right relationships with the Lord and with each other. Boy, I miss my relationship with you. It's hard to be apart and hard to be away. And hopefully this helps you wherever you're at in your life and in your relationships. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I'm thankful that you have spoken into me and how it is I can evaluate my own health, my own life, my relationship with you, and then my relationship with others. And Lord, I pray for each one that's watching this message, that's listening to it, that you will help them also determine their relationship with you and others. And Lord, may you bring healing and peace, bring growth in our lives and in our relationships all over the world. Lord, I pray that you will grow new relationships with people, that more and more folks will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus because of who you are and what you've done in our own lives. So, Father, I just pray that you will be glorified and advance your kingdom in us and through us. Forgive us for our sins. Watch over us. Guard our minds and our eyes and our hearts. Keep us close to you that others can see your majesty in us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, hopefully you're enjoying the weather wherever you're at. You're enjoying God's creation. You're getting out there and being active and staying clean and healthy, being safe. And hopefully that we can get back together sooner rather than later, that this COVID deal will become a thing of the past. I know that that's wishful thinking, but God has a plan in all of this. And I believe it's to show us our priorities, to know that He is the most important thing, that sports are not a God, that even our own building and our own gathering is not God, that He is God, that He's the most important thing, that we can worship Him and grow in our relationship with Him wherever we are at. So either way, thanks for joining us today. I'm glad you did. Take care and God bless. Until next time.